Today we start a new regular monthly feature here on RNIB Connect Radio. We're going to be chatting about fundraising and events because RNIB is, after all, a charity and relies on donations to provide our vital services, changing the lives and improving the everyday lives of people with visual impairments. Today we have with us Becca McCrow and Elizabeth Wagner. Thank you both for joining us.
Pleasure, lovely to be on.
Thanks, Alan.
So, Becca, start with yourself first of all. Tell me a little bit about your job.
So I work in the community fundraising team, and we have fundraisers all across the country, basically everywhere you could possibly imagine, who go out there into their communities and look for ways to bring them into the work of RNIB and get them involved. So that could be anything from a bake sale to taking part in one of our events or anything like that. It really does cover a whole wide area.
And joining Becca, we have Elizabeth Wagner. So what's your part in this, Elizabeth?
So I head up the Challenge Events fundraising team. So basically we look after anyone who's kind of taking on like a sporting or a physical challenge and then raising money through doing that. So that tends to be kind of running, cycling, walking, trekking, swimming, skydiving, those kinds of activities.
Now, we're going to be chatting each month, and we're also going to be hearing from some of the guys involved, some of the fundraisers, the volunteers and so on, to give our listeners an idea of what goes on at fundraising. And really, it is a hugely important part of RNIB. I mean, Becca, without fundraising, you know, we wouldn't have the service, and it must be quite a challenge each year.
It is indeed, and I think it's actually getting a little bit harder year on year. Charities have been under the microscope a lot recently, and a lot of that is fair enough. We need to make sure that everyone is abiding by all the laws and doing everything that is right for our fundraisers. But without those amazing people out there fundraising for us, we simply wouldn't survive as a charity, so it is vitally important.
What kind of figures are we talking about here? How much does RNIB need to raise? I'm sure that probably changes each year, though.
Well, we currently raise about £70 million per year, but as we know, kind of times are always changing, things are always costing a little bit more, so we need to raise more money every single year to be able to enable us to help even more people with sight loss across the UK.
Okay, so we are going to be speaking each month about some of the events and speaking to the people who are involved as well. So if we were to perhaps cast our minds back to 2017, what would you say were maybe one or two standout events for you?
In the Challenge Events team, by far our biggest event at the moment is the London Marathon. It's also the largest one-day fundraising event in the world. So it's a massive event for a lot of charities. Nearly 40,000 runners take part in the event. So last year we had 116 runners take part in the event, and it raised £285,000 for RNIB. We're lucky to have a number of kind of charity places in the event so we can recruit lots of people in, but we also get people who secure their own places in the marathon that also use those places to support RNIB. And one of the things that has been really exciting from the 2017 event to this year's event is we've doubled the number of blind and partially sighted runners on the team as well. And that's a big area that we're trying to kind of focus on.
We'll certainly give people the opportunity to do that, because each month we're going to give people all the contact info. We want them to get in touch and to get involved as well. So if you've had the London Marathon, that was quite a biggie. What would be your second one? What was the other standout one for 2017?
The other big one that I kind of wanted to mention that actually goes back a bit bit further than that was towards the end of 2016, where we had a trek to Iceland. So we had 35 participants that signed up to that trek, and it was a three-day trek, and we covered kind of 37 kilometres and raised kind of over £80,000 for RNIB. And again, a third of our participants were blind and partially sighted, so it was kind of just an incredible event.
Are you finding that people are eager, if you like, more willing to take on some of these more intrepid challenges?
Yeah, I think so. The really exciting thing about Challenge Events fundraising is that people do have kind of life-changing experiences, that they're able to kind of tick things off the bucket list, as well as do an amazing thing for RNIB by both raising money and raising awareness. And I think that's the really important thing about both Challenge Events fundraising and community fundraising, is that it means that people are out there talking to their friends and their families and their colleagues and telling people what they're doing, and, you know, as well as asking for kind of donations from those people.
And that encourages them to get involved with us as well, which is so brilliant. We often will find that people will then the following year take up a challenge with us or get involved with one of our events in a community because they sponsored someone the previous year or went along to one of their fundraising events. So the awareness should not be kind of dismissed. It's vitally important for us, and that helps us to raise more each year.
That was going to be my next question, actually, is how do you find people to say, yes, I want to raise funds for RNIB? But, you know, having that word of mouth is great. That's probably the best kind of recruitment you could get, really, isn't it?
So it's quite similar, actually, both for challenge events fundraising and community fundraising, the kind of channels that we use to recruit people. So what we often tend to find is that a lot of the people who do this type of fundraising are people who are already warm to RNIB in some way. Either they themselves have been supported by RNIB, or they have a friend or a family member or a colleague or somebody that they know that has experienced sight loss or has come into contact with us as an organisation. That is often one of the kind of key ways that we get to people, is through things like our Connect magazine or the Connect e-news that goes out, hopefully now through Connect Radio.
Oh, yes.
That's what we hope.
And then like things like the companies that RNIB work with. So Specsavers is one of our corporate partners, and we've been promoting some of our challenge events and our community fundraising products on their intranet, and we've had massive success through the Sooty Box volunteers that Becca, I'm sure, will talk about later.
Yeah, I was going to say, kind of like on the word of mouth angle, one of the amazing events that we've been kind of doing over the past year within the community fundraising team has been our sponsor a talking book product. So I imagine that most of our Connect listeners will know of our talking book service and how incredible it is. And since that's became a free service for blind and partially sighted people, we've obviously had to then actually fundraise to be able to fund it and make sure that it still continues. So we have a an option out there where people can sponsor one, so they can either sponsor an adult book for £2,500 or a children's book for £1,500. And it enables people to actually go out there, talk more about the service, and then also they get to record a dedication which goes on the front of the book and then goes out to anybody who listens to it. So whether it's doing it in memory of somebody who may well have passed but used our services, or if it's something they're just celebrating and want to talk about it, they get to put that on the front, which is a lovely idea. So we've had over 130 books that have been sponsored so far, which has brought in over £200,000, which is great. And there's an amazing story of a little town called Peebles, which is on the Scottish borders, and they've raised nearly £20,000 already, and they're still going. And that whole community came together just through a volunteer thinking it would be great if 10 businesses just raised £250 each to hit that target. And since then, the whole community of Peebles has come behind this initiative and seem to have like adopted Sponsor a Talking Book as their own. And it's sort of just shows how local press can really have an influence. And just having those local businesses involved, as Lizzie was talking about. Mm.
We've spoken about the events, and some of them sound absolutely amazing, some of the challenges as well, but equally important are the smaller fundraisers as well, the small amounts which can make a massive difference, or the regular fundraisers as well. I know, Elizabeth, you mentioned the Sooty Boxes, which Becca could probably tell us a little bit more about, because these are things that are ongoing that people can really get involved in getting them out there and doing the collections as well.
Absolutely.
100%. That there's no amount of money is too small. We're actually kind of doing a campaign this year to find a home for Sooty. And we've been really, really lucky to have a relationship with Sooty that dates back to the 60s. And he continues to be our like, a fantastic little furry friend. It's the people who put their change in them when they're in the supermarket or in the pub, because it does all add up. Mm. We've raised over £11.5 million through the Sooty collection boxes since we started this relationship, which is just astounding. And that is kind of like, at the moment, we currently bring in about £500,000 a year from it. So every single penny that anyone puts in really does add up and change the lives of people who are blind and partially sighted.
Yeah. So would you say for 2018, the two big things you really want to get out there at the moment are the Sooty Box collections, more people getting involved in that, and the big challenge being the London Marathon?
Yes, I would say so. so, definitely. There are a couple of other new events that we've launched this year, new challenge events that I would definitely say are a big focus for us as well. We've got a couple of brand new bespoke treks. So the South Downs Trekathon.
Which Lizzie is actually taking part in.
I am.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, thank you. Signed up a couple of weeks ago. and I've already set up my fundraising page, of course. And then we've also got a Ben Nevis challenge taking part on the 17th to 19th of August. So that is for people to be able to conquer the UK's tallest mountain. And then the final one is the big jump.
Which I'm doing.
Indeed.
So.
Yeah, we like to get involved as well. We don't just talk about
it. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah,
we're waiting to find out what you're going to sign up to, Alan.
You guys walk the walk and jump the jump, and I'll kind of report and tell everyone all about it.
I'm sure there's more you could do. We'll talk about that over the next couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, you're in Glasgow, so Ben Nevis challenge would be perfect.
I'll take it under advisement for the moment.
And then the big jump, which is we've always had a few people each year who've done skydives for us. What we've now done is we're focusing it all around one day. So to mark the end of National Eye Health Week on the 23rd of September, we want to fill the skies with as many RNIB skydivers as possible. And it's really, excuse the pun, taking off. We've already recruited four times the number of skydivers for this year's event than we did in total last year. So the fact that people all take part on the same day is really kind of encouraging people to sign up.
That's why I wanted to sign up. I wanted to be part of something on a day where, yeah, you know that kind of across the country everyone else is doing it as well. I just think it's a great idea, yeah, to do it like that. So I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, me too.
A little bit scared.
Okay. Yeah, so there's locations across up and down the country that people can take part in. And again, you know, half of the participants that we've got signed up have a sight condition. So it's something that is appealing more and more to blind and partially sighted audiences, hopefully. And again, we're trying to encourage as many people to get involved as possible.
Just kind of regarding the Find a Home for City, it's actually City's 70th birthday this year. Happy birthday, City.
Doesn't he look well for his age?
Doesn't he just? He looks amazing. And of course, it's also RNIB's 150th anniversary. So we're trying to do a big celebratory year to find as many homes as we can for City across the country. So that's what we're kind of looking for, is anyone who's listening who might know somewhere, might be a business that can take a City box into their shop or their pub or their bakery or news agent, or people who might have a bit of spare time on their hands and kind of be looking for something rewarding to do in that time that they have, and would be willing to volunteer for us and collect, they could be one of our collectors and empty the boxes. So that's kind of one of the main ones, as you said. The other one is, it's this May, we've got Dots Raise Lots. So that's all talking about the brilliance of Braille, getting people to basically go dotty for our good cause. So we're asking people to join with friends and colleagues, groups or even kind of schools with a range of dotty activities. So that could be wearing, it could be baking, could be playing dots like Twister or any of those kind of things. We've had people do nail salons. We've had people doing a dress making competition. It's been quite amazing. So it's a nice kind of fun and easy event that also highlights the impact and the importance of Braille, because we know how important that is for literacy. Listening to an audiobook doesn't teach young children how to spell or grammar. So it is a vital resource that does need to be funded and supported. So we've got brilliant fundraising guide and activity packs. There are also lesson plans for schools that are all curriculum relevant. So any busy teacher that's listening and thinks, I haven't got time to bring another charity event into my school, yes you have, because we've provided exactly what you need. It ticks all the boxes. It tells you where it's fitted into your curriculum. So it's actually, we've done a lesson plan for you. So I mean, you can't get better than that.
Absolutely. Well, we've managed to get through quite a few events there for our very first monthly feature. We'll be speaking with Becca and Elizabeth each month. We'll get in some of the guys as well who have actually done some of these challenges and find out what it's like jumping out of a plane or trekking through Iceland as well. In the meantime, guys, if people would like to find out more about fundraising and the events and get involved, what's the best way to do that?
So from a community fundraising point of view, there's a main email address, which is fundraising@rnib.org.uk, or our fundraising hotline, which is 0345 345 0054. They're the two main ways. If you go onto the RNIB website and have a look on the fundraising pages, you'll find all of our events and products there as well. Lizzie, with you?
Yeah, so go to rnib.org.uk/events. And again, you can contact events@rnib.org.uk if you've got any questions.
Guys, it's been great chatting with you and finding out a little bit more about the important work of fundraising and events and all the challenges as well. And as we said, we're going to keep everyone up to date each month here on RNIB Connect Radio. For the moment, though, thanks to Becca and Elizabeth for joining us. And we'll catch up with you both again next month.
Thank you very much. Look forward to speaking to you then.
Thanks so much, Alan. Cheers.
Take care.